Well, James 4 and those few verses are our verses to start a new year. And as we look back at last year and as we think about a new year, I think that all of us would see that there are certain things that dominated last year, and that if only we reflect on them, could teach us valuable lessons that we could take into 2022. There's lots of them, I don't need to mention them, but I just want to focus on one big lesson that we all should learn as we enter a new year. A big lesson that we learned from what went on in 2021. And the big lesson that I believe that I should learn and you should learn, and in fact everyone should learn as we look back at 2021, is that we are not God. We are not God. We are not in control of things that make up our life. Sad thing is, of course, that the temptation for all of us is to live as though we are God in our lives, as though we're in control, but we're not. Whether my mic's not working very well. We're not in control. And 2021, of any year in any of our lives that we've lived, 2021 should have demonstrated, should have proved to us that we're not in control. I just, and maybe you, just think of all the plans at this time last year that I made, that I put in my diary, that never happened. Never happened at all. Despite all the planning and all the investing of time and money, I found out, you found out, all of us found out that we don't control things. And it's in the Bible that we find the truth about the one who is actually in control of everything, that God is sovereign over all things, and there is nothing outside his control. And so the Apostle James, writing to these Christians in the church, underlines this for them as he states very plainly that God is in control and not us. And James, as he writes in these few verses, he has an arrogance to condemn, and he has an action and an attitude to commend. So that's what I want to simply look at with you together this morning. The attitude that James, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, he condemns as wrong. An arrogance that he condemns, and an attitude, should I say, that he commends to us. So the problem that James says that these Christians have is their presumption of what's going to happen. Now, he says, today or tomorrow we go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Now, he's not condemning business and work or making money. It's not that at all. He doesn't condemn that. That's fine. The problem is the arrogance, in that it presumes that you have it all in control, that you sort everything out in the way that suits you. It's the arrogance of living a life without any reference to God in it at all. We make our plans, we sort everything out, we know what we're going to do, and God's never referred to at all. And that's the attitude, the arrogance that he says is so wrong. Living a life without reference to the God who the Bible says controls it all. He has it all in his hand. And people, Christians, they make their plans without any reference to him at all to see whether what they're planning fits in with his plans. James writing to these Christians who were living their lives as if God didn't exist. Oh, they went to church, but once they left, they lived as though there wasn't a God, as if God didn't exist at all. Make their plans as if the future is entirely in their hands and not in God's hands. They mark their diary, the exact day for that event, that sporting event, or that business meeting, even the hour. They write it all down without any reference to God at all. Now, I say to you again that James is not making out that business or planning is wrong. What he's saying is that doing it without any reference to God, he calls it evil. Plan how much time they're going to spend away. They say it's going to be a full year. They're confidently planning a full year ahead without any reference at all to God, about any fear of what might happen in the coming months. And I ask myself, and I ask you, does that come into our thinking, in our planning? You see, I don't know if you will agree with me. I might be one on my own with this. Pauline will tell you that I've got a thing about New Year. I've started to believe that people out there in the world, unbelievers, they now make far more of New Year than of Christmas. To me, they do. And there can only be one reason that I can think of that has started to happen, that people now make far more of New Year than they do actually of Christmas. And the only reason I can think of is simply that in some strange way they begin to believe that they can get rid of all the year that went past, all the trouble and all the hassle and the pain. They can, by the turn of a calendar, they can get rid of all of that and they can start new. And it's going to be great. Every year people think it's going to be great this year. It's not going to be like last year. We got rid of that. It's the only reason I can think of that so much emphasis now is placed on New Year. And I wonder if anything of that enters the Christian's mind, enters our minds this morning. There's nothing wrong with being positive. But you know, I can almost guarantee that despite the turning of the calendar, and despite not being morbid or downcast in any way, you and I know the same problems will be there this year as were last year. The same troubles and heartbreak and losses, they'll all be there. They won't have changed at all. And the fact that James writes to these Christians, the fact that you may not be here in 3 months' time, or that all your money will have gone. It happens. That all your money will be gone, that you lose your job, or the economy collapses, or your health fails, or accident means that you become housebound. None of those things ever cross our minds at the start of a new year as we begin to make our plans. We can say that we believe in God, but we can live as though we don't, as though there isn't a God at all. That's the point that James is making as he writes to these Christians. They say, I'll go wherever I want. I'll go whenever I want. I'll go for as long as I want. I'll do everything I want. And that's the arrogance that James points to and condemns in these Christians' lives. So he says in verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. And all such boasting is evil, it's sinful. And you know it's evil because the one who actually controls everything that will happen in 2022, the one who controls it all, is completely left out. And we all do it. And James says it's evil, it's sin. Why is it sin to make plans? It's not sin to make plans, of course it isn't. But it's sin for the Christian to make plans without any reference to God. And of course, that word sin has as its middle letter the letter I. And that's the problem. That's why leaving God out of everything that we plan is sin. It's because the I, the big I, becomes the controlling factor. It's all about me. Life is my life. I am the centre of everything. It's all about me getting what I want. And that's why we sulk. That's why we get angry when we don't get all our own way. And in that state, Christians can go whole days, weeks, without any reference to God at all, without any coming to him and asking him, you know, I'm thinking of doing this, Lord. Is this the right thing to do? Will you lead me? Will you guide me? Will you show me if this is right? Without any reference to God at all. And the temptation to treat God like that is strong within us. Oh, of course I'll have God. I'll sing the songs, the Lord is King. I'll have him as my king, as long as he doesn't start interfering with my plans. I will. I like the idea. I'll think it's wonderful to think that Jesus is the Lord of heaven and that he's going to take me to heaven, as long as he doesn't start telling me how to live. I've had a bad 2021. I need my holiday. I need my retirement. So don't start interfering with my plans. As long as you leave me to live my life, of course I'll sing your songs and come to church. No problem at all. But that can't be. See, it's illogical that we can make our plans when we don't control anything. That God controls everything. We're in his hands. You're here this morning because God created you. You didn't create yourself. You're here this morning because God made you. And you're here this morning because God gives you your very next breath. If he didn't, you're gone. It's God that controls. God gives us our very breath. And he gives us our breath and he's given us physical life so that we can have him as King and Lord. The one who gives us everything. He's so good, the song says, wants us to acknowledge that he's king of our life. That's the reason he created us. The problem is, of course, that our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, excuse me, fell for Satan's lie. You've heard me speak many times about Satan's lie. And it's so real in this kind of thinking at a new year. I can't resist just reading to you again Satan's lie that Adam and Eve fell for and that now has planted the big I, the middle letter of sin, in each of our lives. Just let me read to you again. Now Satan said to the woman, did God really say you mustn't eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to Satan, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you mustn't eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. You mustn't touch that or you will die. Oh, you'll certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from that tree, your eyes will be opened and you will then become like God. That's the lie. And it's the lie we've all believed, and it's the lie that threatens every new year, that we want to be God of our lives. We want to control everything. We live as though we are God. That's the big lie. And so we disobey God. We don't want him to be ruling our lives. And we think that by doing that we really find life. And yet what's actually happened to us is that life for us now, even the best bits of life, are really a little bit like a fish out of water. So if you take a fish out of water, it doesn't die immediately. It lives on, it flips and flaps about. It has a kind of life for a fair time. But the life that it was designed for, to be in the water, is lost. That fish can never truly live, even though it's got life. You can see that it's still alive. It will eventually die, but it can never truly have the life it was designed for until it goes in that water again. And God is saying to us at the start of a new year, oh, you think you've got some kind of life with this lie of Satan. You can live in this world and it has loads of things that you can flip and flop about for, and they're very attractive, many of them, even deep in your heart, you know they never satisfy. That new car never really delivers, and, you know, the new place to live or that meals out. You need more and more and more and more and more. It's never really proper life. And no wonder the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards wrote, at the very pinnacle of his career, with millions in the banks and all the houses he could have and all the women that he could have, he wrote, do you know what? I can't get any satisfaction. Why? Because he's a fish out of water. God made us for himself. He's got a life that he offers to us. And Satan's lie comes in and says, you'll lose so much if you take that way. It won't be life. You'll have to give up this and give up that. You won't really have life. So stay with me. Following Satan's lie about life, making us in charge, leads to a terrible quality of life. So disappointing. So frustrating. We come to the end of every year and look back and think, it never really, it never worked out how I wanted it to. Because God has made for us a life that really delivers. Life that no one can take away. He promises that Jesus will walk with us through this life. In his kingdom, it's not a loss of life. It means you find real life. The life you were created for, just as the fish was created to live in the water, you and I were created to live in God's kingdom. And if you're trying to live outside of that, your life this year, I can promise you, will not deliver. You'll not find the life that you're looking for. And so just in the last 5 minutes, I just want to mention now, after all that negative, that James comes and says that there is a different kind of attitude that he commends. Verse 14, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this. Or that. The attitude we should have, James says, comes from seeing and accepting how short life is. Because it is short. These people were saying, we'll do this. We'll do this in this year. We'll do that in the next year. And James is saying, you don't know. You don't control your life. You can't make those plans without any reference to me. Just like a mist, he says. It's just like breath that comes out on a cold morning. You see it, it's there, and then, believe it or not, it's gone. Life is very short. Says he at 75, I cannot believe. 75 years, so short. Can't believe it. Whether you live 20 years or 90 years, you're here 1 minute and you're gone the next. Because we're not here to stay. This is not our home. You look at the inscriptions that you see on tombstones. I'm really morbid. I like looking at tombstones and to see what people wrote. But you look at those inscriptions. 1947, 2022. And in the middle's that little dash. And that little dash was their life. When they were born, when they were died, and that little dash in the middle's their life. That's the shortness of life. So don't live for this life. And the Bible says, teach me to number my days so that my life might have wisdom. The psalmist there is praying to say to God, I've got a great temptation to make this life everything. And I live as though it'll never end. I've got years and decades in front of me. I don't need to do anything at the moment. Teach me to number my days. How many have you got left? You don't know. I don't know. How many? You think you've got endless days. But have you? Teach me to number my days. Be wise. Live for something that lasts, says the Bible. And our attitude should be that God is in control and not us. Humble submission. Arrogance looks ahead and it assumes that it'll always be good, that you'll always prosper, that all your plans will come to force, that your loved ones will always be there. And I look in this congregation and there are people here who know that that is not the case. That your loved ones will always be there. We live like this, as though every plan, every dream will just happen. God says to us, live with my will in mind. Arrogance is evil. We submit to God and we listen to what he says. Just listen to this poem that I've written down here. Because, you know, good intentions are useless. They're absolutely useless. He was going to be all that a man could be. Tomorrow, no one would ever be kinder or more thoughtful than he. Tomorrow, a friend to all, helping to see what he could do for them. Tomorrow, each morning he'd stack up the letters that he'd write for tomorrow and think of the folk he would help with delight tomorrow. It was too bad that he was busy today and he hadn't a moment to stop on his way. More time I'll give to all these things tomorrow. The greatest of human people this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have honoured him in New Year's lists if he had seen tomorrow. But he died. And all that was left when his living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do. Good intentions are useless. Delayed obedience to God is disobedience. And the challenge comes at the start of a year. Would this be for me, for you, the year when we really do give our lives to God and say, I'm yours. I've got my plans, I've got my thing, but they're under your will. Whatever you want of me, Lord, I will do. And how will we get to a state like that? Well, I think the thing that will help us to get there is to remember what Jesus did for us. And Paul, writing to that church in Philippi, the letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, he reminds us about the Lord Jesus. He says of the Lord Jesus, he says, he, the Lord Jesus, became like a man. He appeared in human likeness. He was humble and he walked the path of obedience to death, even death on the cross. And for this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is above every name, so that in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven and on earth and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's Lord. He's the one. You're not, I'm not. So in this new year, may we recognize that, not forget it, but to live for him. It's only a short life. Give ourselves to him afresh and live to him in honor of the one who rescued us, saved us, forgave us, and has become king of our lives. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you.